Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
I don't know how much information you know about me. My name is Mark Roplat. Thank you. Okay. I only have a couple of slides here. My disclaimer is that, I'm not necessarily the badass entrepreneur that you might see come and grace this lecture hall who has five companies under his belt or her belt and has exits grand, both negative and positive. My situation is I am part of two startups right now, both out of school when I was here at Berkeley, and I've been doing that for the past 2.5 years. So I don't have those grand tales necessarily to tell you, but I guess what I think might be good for this audience is that, you know, instead of seeing, if you want to get from A to Z, instead of seeing somebody who's gone through the paces a few times, I'm someone who is, somewhere in the middle and I've gotten far enough along that, we haven't flamed out on our startups. Something where Tube Mogul is one of the companies that I'm part of that I'll talk about, that, we're now at 21 people. We're looking to actually hire a few more engineers, so if you're interested about that for web development, tell me afterwards. Also, even though I only have the 2.5 years of experience, I definitely will talk about my lessons learned and experiences, and as if I've been through the paces quite a bit. So like I mentioned, I want to talk about my story, both before, during, and after business school here. This is like one of the funny pictures I thought I'd put up. This is the last time I was skiing, actually, was when I was in business school, so the fun goes away a little bit with startups. So I'll talk about my story and then some lessons learned and then go through some questions. So as I was putting my notes together, I was thinking, I put something out and I thought, this is brilliant. This is really good stuff. I'm just going to put this on a slide and it's going to look great. And I'll show that after I talk about my story. So first, it's not as brilliant when you see it on a slide. So pre-MBA, I worked for about 6 years as a consultant for a healthcare consulting company doing operations and IT consulting. That's where I met Roshan Bula, who actually is one of the organizers of this class. Going to business school, I was thinking, I want something more. I want to be part of something from the beginning. I'm interested in entrepreneurship, a little bit more technology focused than what I was doing. But I really thought I'd stay in healthcare. That was kind of what I knew. Then as I went through school, I really got in love with the opportunity recognition process and found that it wasn't as important for me to necessarily stay in healthcare. It's more to find problems to solve. So when I got to school, the things I'm going to highlight here just highlight some of the decisions I had to make and I think are important as you're thinking about starting a company. First semester of business school, for those of you who are in business school, it's the core classes, it's really rigorous, you don't have time for much anything else, and a lot of people decide, well, I'm going to focus on these core classes and, I'll worry about entrepreneurship stuff next semester or second year. But really, I decided that, some of the things, whether it's OB class or stats, microeconomics, those are things I needed to know, but in 7 weeks or whatever the class schedule is, I needed to allocate a lot more of my time to figure out some of this stuff and get involved in entrepreneurship. And just little things make a difference. So I helped organize a mixer that, most of it was the second years involved in doing the EA, the Entrepreneurship Association, and we did something at the Bear's Lair, and it was the idea of this here, let's get a lot of engineers involved from the different departments, MBAs, mix, talk about ideas. Ended up being mostly business school people, even though I did a lot of work trying to reach out, as you guys probably can attest to, happens a lot with those types of activities. But there was a sign-up list, and I was in charge, so I grabbed that sign-up list, and I emailed a few people that were from the engineering school, and one of them I ended up having coffee with, talking about ideas, and a year later was in a class, and actually we are co-founders in a business that is now in the incubator. So, I mean, those things pay off. It's all about those interactions. So consider those types of sacrifices. And another thing was going to the entrepreneurship forum and watching as some people got up and did their numbers, did the pitch. Was there the numbers tonight? I don't know if you guys do that for this class. Anyways, people would pitch in front of different entrepreneurship activities. Anyways, this guy had this really cool wireless sensor network company. I approached him afterwards, told him about it, that I was really interested, and just asked if he needed any help. And that turned into an internship second semester, and that really helped me get my feet wet in startups. Other things about second semester, I had an opportunity to work for a hedge fund that was doing healthcare stuff or do this startup, and a lot of people die for those hedge fund jobs. And I ended up choosing the startup work, and in the end, it was the right thing to do. But those things were hard decisions. And again, it comes down to if you're really thinking about doing startup work, just do stuff, like get involved, and things will pay off and make things happen. Same thing happened again with the summer internship. It was a couple different opportunities. Well, one was with Intel. Doing some marketing work again in healthcare, or work for a startup. There was a healthcare search engine, and Intel. We worked for 10 weeks, and I'd have Intel on my resume forever. Oh, it was just really tough. And in the end, I took the startup job. And what I, while I don't have Intel on my resume now, what I ended up getting was I got thrown into all sorts of situations that I wouldn't have otherwise. Like, here are some contracts. Rewrite these for this client, with these terms in mind. And I was like, what the heck? Are you kidding me? Like, don't I need to be a lawyer to do that? You guys are resting a contract on my shoulders. I'm here for a week or whatever it might be. But I realized that's how business is done, especially in a startup. So that was really good for me, especially now at TubeMogul, where I've been doing business development and sales and having to come up with contracts all the time. And then getting into the second year, doing the entrepreneurship stuff here at Berkeley and at Haas, the classes are small, class sizes are small together, but then in the entrepreneurship community, you really feel like you get to know people who are interested, and there might be 40 or 50 people that really want to start companies. Maybe it's less than that. And so by the second year, you're writing, I had written a couple business plans, was in a class, I was writing two different business plans. And it just so happened another group in that class was on to writing a business plan that I ended up matching up with for TubeMogul. And it was one of those things. I'm at Les Chevals in December of 2006 talking with them just about the idea that they were working on and spitballing some ideas, and thought, this is a good idea. This seems to be, future thinking for web video. So right there, I decided, let's see if I can help out. And so I joined that team then. So that was something then that we secured some space in the incubator for as well. And this was the second semester of my MBA. And, we had a rough alpha product. What TubeMogul is today we'd say we're a web video promotion platform to get your videos viewed by your audience. At the time, we were focused on the analytics. We have this great analytics tool for web video. We were web video distribution and analytics. And so for those that were putting videos across the web in a lot of different video sites, we could get the videos there quickly and then have a dashboard to measure your views across all those sites. We just put up an alpha product, and it was something that we were getting a lot of traction. There were a lot of people using us that were doing web video, and from record labels to individuals to new media production companies and big agencies. And so we thought there was something there. We were, you know, really working hard on that, and it's second semester business plan competition. We did something that was a little bit unusual. You know, we had been through the process of writing business plans quite a bit. We actually outsourced the business plan writing to some first years that were in Jerry Engel's entrepreneurship class. And so, I mean, with our input, of course, but we didn't spend a lot of time figuring things out there because we were really working on getting users, finding out what their needs were. The first years actually went through the first round, and we were like, wow, this is great. And then as it came to the finals, you know, we had then now established some non-revenue, but some deals with some big companies, and we had, I don't know, 500 or more or free users, and that actually paid off big from the business plan competition standpoint, in that we had traction. And we ended up winning the business plan competition, which was a complete shock to me because, I mean, we were against high technology companies, you know, advancements in MRI machines that, you know, are multi-billion dollar industries, had multiple patents. Here we didn't have much of a technological barrier, but what we did have was adoption. And we were able to convince the panel of judges that we were in it for a company. It wasn't just an idea. So we had jumped in feet first. Of course, it's a lot easier when you're in school. So that's another thing. I mean, get things started while you're in school. But we decided we were going to do this after school. And you know, we chose not to take some jobs that were high paying, and we're just going to say, you know what, we haven't been making money for the last 2 years, really, so let's just extend it a little bit. It's easy to do that rather than to have a steady paycheck and then cut yourself off. So we dedicate ourselves to doing that and seeing how things worked. We ended up doing that for the rest of the year. We didn't think it would be that long, but you know, we went unpaid and luckily had support from spouses, et cetera. So we graduated, and the business plan competition really helped us with fundraising because the VC community just took a look at who won the competition. They were inviting us to pitch. And you know, something that was really good is that our pitch was, we don't know what the business model is yet. We know we're solving a problem. Here's what we're going to continue to do to solve the problems that our users are telling us they need. And we think these are the models. And so with that, the whole VC game, and I'm getting into the lesson slide already, but it's kind of like dating. You know, you got to make them want you. If you go in and you're saying, yeah, I'm not really interested in your money right now. Let me tell you what I'm doing, though. They're like, tell me more. But what it also served was a place where they would introduce us to their network to help vet our ideas and maybe be seed investors. They also were using it as a benchmark. So, okay, you say you're going to do all these things. You've done this today. That's impressive. You say you're going to do these things. You know, let's talk about it when you have done those things. And that helped us a lot. And it helped us with our culture. Before I dive into some more of the lessons, I think it's the other thing to note is OptolL Solutions, which is a parallel computing software company, and that's in the incubator right now. And that was through meeting up with some PhD students. Again, it was something through coursework, but also just mixing and socializing in these types of environments. And that's something totally different business, enterprise software. And it's something we think we can bootstrap. It's something where we have revenue from some grants. We are about to sign a deal with a big enterprise software company. And we'll see how it goes. But again, it gets into, it ties in to some of the lessons that I'll bring up and right now. And I want to show you my ugly slide. So I thought this was great when I did it. See? And then I drew all the lines. And I realized how messy it was. But those are the things I want to talk about, so I'll take away the lines. So first, I was talking about fundraising a little bit and what we saw coming out of business school. Winning the business plan competition was really helpful, obviously. But the other thing I want to note is that, and we did benchmark ourselves to then ultimately raise a Series A at the end of the year. And it was helpful to say, this is what we said we were going to do, you know, 8 months ago. We touched base. Here we are now. That was huge. But the angel investing and seed investing part is really big, too, because if you get seed investors, it's easier money, but it's rolling, too. You can just keep enhancing your pitch and going after the right people. And you know, you go after the right people, meaning get people that you want on your board or as advisors and get them to put some money in rather than just, you know, just give them some equity. Once they have money in, then they're, and if they're respected in that industry, they're going to bring along their friends. I mean, they're going to tell their friends, oh yeah, I'm in this investment. And they're like, really? If Dave is part of this investment, I want to be part of it. Let me hear more about it. And so that helps out a lot, and it helps give credibility. And if you get the people that have gone through the venture capital process, then they're making introduction to their friends that are VCs. They're helping out when you do get term sheets to negotiate the best terms. And so that's really critical. So talked about fundraising, VCs. You know, a big part of startups is scrappiness. By scrappiness, I mean, you know, we went unpaid for almost a year. We did everything to not spend money. I mean, we were in the incubator. That was great. And actually, it was huge. We needed that to, I mean, that's one of the biggest expenses early on is where are you going to house people, especially if you're already working for free. So that is a big expense that we were able to avoid. We're doing our own PR and marketing. I mean, we did from a zero budget, which really helped us learn how to speak to the customers and find out what they needed. It was a great iterative process. When we went to conferences, we would only go pretty much if it was for free. Like, we'd get on panels. We would steal pens from hotels and use it as our, put that as in our supply cabinet. And, I mean, do anything. And that's really important, and it's still part of our culture today, even after, you know, we've taken in $5 million in investment and have 20 people. And that's what differentiates us from a company that's burning maybe $750,000 a month to one that's burning, you know, $250,000 a month. I mean, it's that big of a difference when you instill that in your DNA. So you got to be scrappy, you got to wear a lot of hats, and be willing to do a lot of things. And then I want to bring that over then to having an MBA. I mean, those two things, if you're an MBA student and you're getting your MBA, you have to prove yourself that, like, hey, though I have an MBA, I'm willing to do these things. Because, I mean, the opportunity cost is pretty big. You can go out there and make great money. I mean, same with any engineers. You guys know what it's about. You have a lot of opportunities. So especially with an MBA, though, because typically you've had some experience. Then you went to school where you're, like, pretending to be a CEO, doing these great case studies. And a lot of people already have a stigma, you know, attached to it. Like, even if you work for a big company, oh, this person just wants to do strategy. They don't want to do the work. I mean, that there is that reality that you have to overcome. Well, it's even bigger in a startup because, I mean, you know, you hear about taking out the trash and that stuff, but it's true. You got to do everything, and for little, you know, reward up front. So the scrappiness factor, I mean, you really have to evaluate if you're willing to do that. And that also, the having an MBA also ties into, like, strategy. Like I mentioned, you know, you're used to these cases and let's put together a great strategy. In a startup, I mean, I think that you need to have, like, an overall strategy to understand what the marketplace is. But, man, I would say err on the side of less strategy. You need to do and do again and again and again. You need to be talking to customers. You know, part of the process that I learned through business school and doing the business plans was that, like, the first time it was a lot of strategy and we're doing all this stuff. In the end, we had this business plan, but we hadn't really done enough to talk to people and find out what the market really needs. So in a startup world, you need to almost go against strategy. Just do it. Even if it's like a deal that might be competitive, you know, the whole word co-opetition, you know, there's books about that. I haven't read them, but I think I know what they are. And it goes into that, you know, there might be someone that this you look at them and they're like, this is probably a competitor, but they're a startup. Let's work with them now. And if we, you know, we do a deal now, and if we have to change things later, then we'll change things later. But it strengthens you in the short term. Just do it and get the momentum. So that's my advice on startups and strategy. Going back then to scrappiness and solving problems, you know, part of scrappiness is getting out there and just finding a problem, solving it, doing whatever you can to please the customers. And that's what we're doing. If you guys hear of Steve Blank's class on customer development, it is an awesome class, and his book is awesome as well. And it really talks about, as in a startup and in technology, you need to just go out there, talk to the customers, have them help you build the product rather than have this vision of what the technology is and should do. You go through a process of building it, and then you were just, you know, a few degrees off, and you ended up with something here, and now you got to go build something that's over here. If you really work on the customer development process, you're building it as you go along, and you're making tighter relationships with the people that are going to use your product, and they love you for it. So that was a lot of what I was doing that first year with TubeMogul, was talking to people that had signed up for our free product, getting them on the phone. They were like, wow, this is just a website, and here there's people behind it. It's a free tool, and here they're asking me what I need. And then we iterated from that, and we would say, okay, we got to build these things. And, you know, from that, I ended up in sales because I had never done sales before. Didn't think I could be a salesperson necessarily, but always wanted to maybe learn it, because if you want to be a CEO, you really need to be someone who can sell. But I ended up selling because I was talking to all our customers, knew what they wanted, and then ended up selling them things before it was actually built. So I was actually in a better position to sell something than getting in a sales guy who wants to say, okay, what's the pitch? Here's my widget. I'm going to go out and attack all these. This is my potential customer base. Now sell. I was someone who could just, you know, look at, you know, a group of video creators and maybe not know what the segmentation was, because we really didn't know yet. There was early stage, later stage, and sell to them. That gets back, I think, to VCs and good CEOs, in that, you know, VCs will take a long time to invest in someone, especially a company that's new. You know, they vet the idea. Time's on their side. But then if they invested in somebody that had a home run for them or made them lots of money, they are willing to sign that check, sometimes blank checks. And why is that? It's not because they know that those people have great ideas and are visionaries. I mean, that's part of it. But the bigger part, I think, is that they have gone through the process with them, iterating on a business model. They know they can take an idea, build a company, and steer the ship, you know, week in and week out to address the market. So iteration and customer development is a key lesson that I've learned from starting companies. And another part of customer development and being scrappy is around PR. If you have a startup company, and this is something Steve Blank says, you know, he basically says PR agencies for technology startups are a racket, and I believe that. Are there any PR people here? Okay. It's not across the board, but basically, if you have a business that you don't know what the model is, and it's nascent and it's going to evolve, why do you spend a lot of money on messaging and getting out there with your name as one thing when 6 months later you might be another thing? You need to keep close to your customers and home, figure out what your PR strategy is along the way. And that actually enables customer evangelism anyhow, because you're talking with them, you get them, you do things for them, and they love you for it, and they tell other customers about you. So that's another lesson I have, is really around PR. And couple other pieces before I open it up to questions. And one is, you know, from a business choice standpoint, you know, when you're solving problems, if you're in a new market, something that's hot, you know, one strategy is to find out what the picks and shovels are. What are the things that that area is going to need? So in the area of web video, there were, when we were starting, YouTube had just been bought by Google. There were hundreds of video sites. We didn't know what would be the winning thing for a video site. So we weren't going out and building a destination that we would then try to have some differentiable element that would make us better than YouTube. We were enabling all of the content creators that were posting videos on all these sites, and they needed a way to measure it. So, you know, that applies to a lot of different domains, and I just think it's one way to pick a hot area is to figure out what are those components that people are going to need. So, you know, the things I've talked about with MBAs, and I know you're not all MBAs, but just, I guess, your education in entrepreneurship would be that you need to prioritize, make those choices on how far you're going to go on one class versus something that's extracurricular. Be ready to make sacrifices, whether it's money, whether it's, you know, social life. It was a tough point right around October of 2007 when still some of my classmates were like just starting their jobs. So like they got jobs, let's say, in the spring or even sometimes in the fall before, had big signing bonuses, took the summers to travel in Thailand or China or, you know, wherever, you know, all over the place. They were coming back and they were bitching about, man, now I got to go back to work. I got to work. It's been so long. And here we've been working our asses off and there was really no break. It was kind of like we stuck our head up and, oh, graduation, and then, you know, just kept working. So that was a big sacrifice and was a little bit of a low point for just a short period of time. But then realize, you know, then they get into their jobs and realize, you know, that they're not their own bosses, and they, you know, work is work. The worst day at school is still a pretty good day at work usually. So, you know, learning that and their unhappiness versus what it's like to start your own company, you know, makes it all worthwhile. So those are how I put together my lessons. I summarized it a little bit about fundraising, be scrappy, solve problems, iterate, and on PR. So that's it. I think I might have been like 25 minutes, but what questions do you guys have?
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.